וידבר. ונספוק ארוני את משה, וידבר ארוני אל משה לאמור. שלח לך אנשים ויעטרו את ארץ כנען, אשר אני נותן לפני ישראל, איש אתה, אחד, איש אחד, למטה הנתב, תשלחו כל נשיא בכם. When Shem spoke to Moshe, saying, send forth you men, let them investigate the land of Canaan that I am giving the children of Israel. One man each from the tribe of his fathers shall you send, everyone a leader among them. Numbers 13:1 is what this is. This parsha has the most powerful example of something that's operating in here that is operating in our lives today. It's prolific amongst the nations, and it's fear displacing faith. Fear displaces faith. And as it says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10:1-11, this was given for our example to be teachings to us, for our admonition. 1 Corinthians 10:1-11.
Moreover, brethren, I did not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moshe in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Yeshua. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Mashiach, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come.
So if we throw out the Torah, we throw out our admonition, we throw out our examples. This is the testimonies of Elohim. The testimonies of Elohim are dear to a Hebrew scribe, for they know the meanings of it. This parsha presents a perfect example of how man, out of fear, thinks he's doing a good thing, but is it the right thing? The initiative to scout out the land originated with the people, not God. That established a breach of faith. God had already scouted out the land, so to speak, and he had set it up for his glory. Therefore, because in some ancient writings, in commentaries, they said because Moshe went along with the people, the plan, he also was condemned with the people to die in the wilderness. So we don't know the fullness of all of the areas, but we know one thing. When God says to go in and take the land, he meant it. Then Numbers 13:1-2.
And the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them.
On the Hebrew side, Vayidaber Adonai el Moshe Lamor. We scroll up to 2:2. Shelach lacha, he says, send for you. It literally means send for yourself. Send for yourselves. That is for your own purpose, not mine. God seems to be saying, I have told you already that the land is good and I would give it to you. If you need man's confirmation, go ahead and send them. But the report will bear the same fruit, fear. This is the reason they sent the spies, is because it was out of fear. Adonai set up the whole thing as monstrous as he could make it for his glory. Remember, he used Pharaoh for his glory. So he wanted these people to go in, man. I have made it look impossible to the nations, to mortal man. I have set it up to where it looks like you guys are going to lose bad. That's what he wanted, them to jump in there and go with him and take possession and overcome it. But it was their idea to stand back and send in Anashim, which is a very powerful word in Hebrew describing certain people. The Anashim were respectable, honorable fighting men, leaders of the tribes. So we know for a fact what they saw was true. They were huge people, there were many people, they were very armed, and they were very powerful. And this is exactly what God had set up. He's in control of everything. He set it up this way so that when they went in, took over, it would be his glory, because the nations watching would say, there's no way they could have done that without the true God. Amen. The one true God. So this is real important to keep everything into perspective here. Deuteronomy is where it's written that they asked to send in spies. Deuteronomy 1, 22 through 23.
And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we shall come. The plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe.
Now, these people he took from each tribe, let's look at who these two men are. In 13, 6 through 8. Numbers 13, 6 through 8.
From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Yosef. From the tribe of Ephraim, Yehoshua, the son of Nun.
Okay, this is all we get out of the English. This is all we get. But there is so much prophecy right here, and so much said right here, that I want to share this with everyone today. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, okay, from the tribe of Judah. And Hoshea, the son of Nun, from the tribe of Benjamin. Numbers 32:12, Caleb. Who was he? No one wholly followed him, Adonai, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Okay, let's scroll this side up a little bit to the Hebrew word Kenizzite. Right here, done, right here. This guy right here, double click on that word. This is who Caleb was from. Okay, go over to Kenaz now, double click that. A grandson of Esau. This guy had more chutzpah than all the other spies besides Joshua. He's from Esau. He settled amongst Judah without a formal conversion or anything. He came into the things of Israel, the ways of Israel, because he saw that's where the true God resides. Now, this is also proof that the Torah is open to the nations. God is open to everyone. Anyone can come in to the ways of God if they don't have fear. Amen. Fear of looking wrong in the community. Fear of being laughed at. Fear of being ridiculed. Fear of being called a Judaizer. All the fears. But standing up for Elohim as he did, as a son of Esau, a grandson of Esau, he's the one that said, let's go in and claim it, possess it, and overcome it. He was on fire for God. This is a beautiful example. The princess that pulled Moshe out of the water, she was at Mount Sinai. She left Egypt with the Israelites. She became Israel too. But she was an Egyptian. Pinchas was an Egyptian. There is such a mixed conglomerate of people throughout our example in the Torah that came into the ways of God without formal conversions. They just accepted his will. They just said, we want to do what he says, man, because we see where there's blessings in it. We don't care what the unlearned say. This is real important to understand this, because so many groups around the country in different places will say, well, us and them, the Christians over there, you know, and we're over here. And then you go to some places and the Christians will say the same thing, us and them, that middle wall, we got to keep that up. Joshua was an Ephraimite from the northern kingdoms. It's real important to learn the history of Israel. And it's all right here in the book. So we have Ephraim and a representative of Judah coming together, declaring the positive about going into the land when all the others were making the chicken sound. So we have Ephraim and Judah. And the one from Judah was a Kenizzite. Caleb was not a Jew. His father, not even a biological Israelite. Yet he settled in the tribe of Yehuda. According to Numbers 32:12, Caleb was a Kenizzite. If a Kenizzite can become a Jew without a formal conversion, then returning Ephraimites can also become part of Israel without conversion. They already are. They settled within the things of Israel. Exodus 12:49.
One law shall be for the native-born and for the stranger who dwells among you.
One law shall be for the native-born and the stranger who dwells among you. Now, there are some Messianic groups that teach that if you can't prove that you're Jewish, then you don't have to really look at all of the Torah. You just have to do what they said in Acts, the four things. That's not true. We don't have to do any of it. We get to do it. Numbers 15:16.
One law and one custom shall be for you and for the stranger who dwells with you.
Who dwells with you, meaning one who is willing to keep the ways of Elohim with you. Numbers 15:29.
You shall have one law for him who sins unintentionally, for him who is native-born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger who dwells among them.
And then Ezekiel 37:21-28. The future.
Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle shall also be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations will also know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore.
Amen. What we're partaking of here today is really worth really looking at. Because what he just read is happening right now. Myself, all of us are the descendants of those who were scattered to the nations, and he's recalling us back to his ways. And here you all sit. I didn't go and knock on your door and read you the Romans Road to get you in here. I didn't have to do a thing. I had no outreach. Ha ha. Ooh. Bad organization. What's their outreach? My goodness. We got to have outreach. Get over here. No, none of that. Abba does it. This is the attitude they should have had when they went in, they should have gone into the land. He fights our battles for us if we go in and show effort with him. You guys are sitting here because Abba put you in here. And this is a very, very serious, respectable situation. In my previous spiritual walk, You know, I could bring in my differences with me and my opinions and mix it up with somebody and get in an argument with someone or whatever. But in a synagogue, we have to leave our opinions at the door and our egos at the door, our anger addiction at the door, our preferences at the door, or what we think this should be at the door. And everyone come in echad. On the mount, it said, in the upper room, and Acts 2, they were all one accord. Amen. It doesn't mean they were just Baptist. It doesn't mean that they were just Mormon, or that they were just one certain type of group thinking a certain little way as they ran out of their cave in the mountain down to the Temple Mountain and went running back. It says they were people from all over the world came there. From many nations, they were echad. They all loved God with all their heart, mind, and soul. And they all knew the ways of Elohim, or it would not have happened what happened. It would not have happened had it been contaminated with egos or pride. It would not have happened. This is really good stuff. These two spies, Joshua, an Ephraimite, Caleb, representing Judah, these two spies were the two true witnesses from the 12 to establish the matter of Elohim's good report in the earth. The same holds true today. Ephraim proclaims the son of Elohim, and Judah proclaims the Torah of Elohim. As the word and son are the same thing combined together, thereby confirming Yahweh's truth in all the earth. And this is so important. As I said before, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, of the little rabbi that became one of Elohim's Yeshua. Yeshua called him out of Orthodox Judaism into the Messianic realm. And he said, before I was called out, I was just a house with no roof. But now the Mashiach has found me, I'm a completed house. Amen. I'm not converted to Christianity. I am a completed Jew. The same for the believer that comes with this knowledge of the Son. And the Torah grabs them and pulls them in. They're not converted into Judaism. They're completed. They have Mashiach and his lifestyle all in one. And where two or more gathered there in the midst, I am there with them also. So these two men were prophecy with what was going on here. Numbers 13:1 through 14:12.
The Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moshe sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord. All of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now these were their names. From the tribe of Reuben, Shemua, the son of Zakur. From the tribe of Simeon, Saphat, the son of Hori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Yosef. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi. From the tribe of Yosef, that is from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi. From the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali. From the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael. From the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vafsi. From the tribe of Gad, Gui, the son of Machi. These are the names of the men whom Moshe sent to spy out the land. And Moshe called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Yehoshua. Then Moshe sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage, and bring back some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol, because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moshe and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moshe and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in their own sight, and so we were in their sight." So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moshe and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Mitzrayim, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." Then Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Yehoshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moshe, "How long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they."
This was really bad. They're telling Abba, they're telling Elohim that these giants and these people they were spying on were greater than God. This is exactly what they were doing. Inserting doubt out of fear, they sent these spies, and fear came back. As we saw in Numbers 32:12, Caleb was a Kenizzite. Caleb was not afraid of walking with Elohim, even though he was from Esau. For Caleb said in Numbers 13:30, "Let us go up and take possession." This is such good instruction. Let us go up and take possession and overcome it. Today, our battles, we must take possession of them and overcome them. Even if they started with us, even if our battles start with us, we have to own it. We have to take possession of it, and we have to overcome it. We have to overcome it. Otherwise, we lose. It's either kill or be killed. Conquer these situations in our lives. Fear displaces faith. Numbers 13, 25 to 33.
And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moshe and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moshe and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had come up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight."
That's one big mistake they made right there, was comparing their opposition's sight to their own sight. This is a good lesson if you really dive into this. God wanted to show his glory through the people of Israel and who they together with Elohim would conquer. They saw enough of something to scare them into doubt and disbelief. For the spies were Anashim, important, brave men, distinguished leaders. You see what they just did here? They threw God's testimonies out the window. All these testimonies of all the conquering he did with Egypt, all the signs, the Red Sea crossing, the parting of the water, all the miracles he did, this is what upset the king of the universe, because his testimonies were ignored. And when you ignore his testimonies, you lose faith. Well, what else are you going to have faith in? I like to look at what he did and say, look it, he did this. They got proof he did it now. Physical proof that he parted the Red Sea. They got the land bridge. They got the chariot wheels. All in the ocean. They're all in the Red Sea. There's so much evidence. There's so much evidence out there. They even got Jabal Allah, the mountain of Moshe in Saudi Arabia, Midian. They found it with all the hieroglyphics and the altars and the gold and the museum they've got there that's not open to Westerners. They've got proof of this all over, and they're digging up more. For mere man, there would be no victory. God had it all set up to look impossible for men to conquer. He wanted this so that his people to step up, they could step up in faith in him and what he had done, his testimonies, and conquer with him the so-called impossible. Kind of like what we did here. Putting this synagogue together. When we first walked in, it looked like a dump. It looked like a brewery that had lost business. But we turned it around with everyone's help and faith and knowing it would work. Abba turned it all around. I like this contrast. Deuteronomy 1, 22 through 28.
"And every one of you came near to me and said, 'Let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up, and of the cities into which we shall come.' The plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, and they departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshkol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us, and they brought it back word to us, saying, 'It is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us.' Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you complained in your tents and said, 'Because the Lord hates us. He has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, "The people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there."
So they're scared of these Anakim. Okay, you see, I'll show you the equation that God's using here with these people. But go to Joshua 11:21. We see here great fear. Oh, there's people in there a lot bigger than us. They'll step on us and smash us. Oh, gosh, what are we going to do? We can't go in there. Look at Joshua. And look, he goes in with a whole new set of people 40 years later. God pulled slaves out of Egypt. Then out of those slaves, he had to pull a people from them because they were contaminated. They were still walking around in a slave mentality. Doubt. So look what happens in Joshua now when he goes in with the offspring of the doubters. 11:21. Remember the Anakim.
And at that time Joshua came and cut off the Anakim from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities.
So we see doubt and fear get left behind. Get thrown out in the wilderness. You die out there. Disbelief. Then we see the ones who conquered. See, Abba took these people out of Egypt, Mitzrayim, to be a special people for him. But they were so contaminated from the Egyptian influences and the Egyptian slavery and the mentality. What I mean by contaminated, the influences were set too deep. How many times we hear where they're so ready to cut and run back to Egypt? They would rather be slaves to Egypt than be a conqueror of reality. That's what I said the other day. One of my favorite lines that came, God gave me, was reality is not politically correct. Neither is God. Praise God for that. He wanted his people to move and act with him. Those who slandered, see, this is following Miriam right after she got put outside the camp for slander and the things she said. So we see following this actions of Miriam, she was put outside the camp because she was contagious. She had already started spreading ick in the camp about Moshe. Remember, she got put out. It was too late. It had already spread. And the ones that got infected, Numbers 14, 1 through 38, they died by the plague.
So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moshe and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moshe, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. And Moshe said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And now I pray, let the Lord, the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me to the test now these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. The Lord spoke to Moshe and Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity, until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days. For each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who gather together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Now the men whom Moshe sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of the men who went out to spy the land.
They died by the plague. There are those, and there has always been those, who like to start a bad report in a way that they think elevates themselves, exaggerating so as to sway their own opinion. This is all stuff that makes Elohim very frustrated with his people. So now we have God who pulls the people out of slavery in Egypt. They are contaminated, so then he has to pull out a people from them to be prepared in courage and faith to go in, enter, and conquer the land, and to do what looks to a disbeliever as impossible. Hebrews 3:1 through 4:16.
Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Yeshua HaMashiach, who is faithful to him who appointed him, as Moshe also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God.
Amen.
And Moshe indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Mashiach, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, They always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, They shall never enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, Today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moshe? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard and did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest," although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works," and again in this place, "They shall not enter my rest." Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of Elohim. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
In his Hebrews 4, there is a little straightening out and a little fixing that needs to be done. These translators very calmly and coolly erase Shabbat so that it could be like a generic God, like we have in a lot of places today, a generic God. There was a generic rest. What type of rest, therefore, remains a rest for the people of God? What kind of rest? In the Hebrew New Testament, it says, Lifchach, notra, manuchat, Shabbat, la'am Elohim. Which means, therefore, the Sabbath rested with the people of God. And verse 10 translates out, he who rested into his Shabbat also rested from his work as God did. But see, the translators of his times that did this translation were under the influence of Constantine. Sun worship, Sunday worship. They did not want to look like Judaizers. They didn't want people to go into Judaism. They were paranoid of it. This was persecution. Why were the Jewish people so persecuted? Because they were to guard the testimonies of God, not let them get distorted. So when we look at this, verse 9, therefore the Shabbat rested with the people of God. He who rested into his Shabbat also rested from his work as God did. So we see Shabbat is in, this is a very important thing here, this type of rest. What kind of rest in Hebrews 4? A Shabbat rest. Amen. A Shabbat rest. And don't let anyone tell you that it was lost. Because we know that little village up in the Golan says no. Mm-mm. We've been looking at it for over 2,000 years the same way Yeshua did down in Kfar Nukam. They were looking down, they could see it. It hasn't been lost. We have in this parsha presumptuousness. Hard word for me to say. This goes in many arteries of thought. And some people coming in will presume things from their perspective to act upon things or say things to someone else that normally would not be done in a synagogue. Second Peter 2, 9 through 11. Now remember, Kepha, at the times in the land, there were no churches with little steeples. They were not setting up churches. They were synagogues. They were preparing the way of Elohim. 2 Peter 2, 9 through 11.
Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord.
Numbers 14, 39 through 45.
Then Moshe told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the mountain, saying, "Here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned." And Moshe said, "Now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword. Because you have turned away from the Lord will not be with you." But they presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moshe departed from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah.
Once again, they presume to do a good thing, but is it not the right thing? It's not the right thing. They just couldn't be still. They couldn't be still. They couldn't be still enough to understand why they were wrong. We must stop and think before reacting. We must be still. Evaluate myself before I speak. And I've been trying to practice this really hard these past few weeks. And you know how many times I said to myself, "Wow, I'm sure glad I didn't say what I just thought. Praise Abba. I'm not getting kicked around the room." I mean, it happened so many times. As soon as something was right there on my lips, getting ready to escape, I thought about it. And I went, I'm not going to say that. Silence is golden. You know, like they say, Dr. Field says, never pass up an opportunity to keep your mouth shut. Because silence is golden. I mean, that's where we don't have to go running back saying, "I'm sorry for saying that." Or, "I'm sorry if I hurt you." Or, I'm sorry. Or somebody comes up to you and says, "They're saying a lot of bad things about what you said." I know, it probably will happen again, but I'm trying. This is what's important. If we focus as much on Elohim and His will as we do our opinions and our pride, we might get somewhere. Once again, they want to go up there. They're going to attack these guys, and they think they're protected. Psalms 46:10.
"Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth."
Be still and know that He is Elohim. This is very good to do, because if we're getting agitated inside, just be still and know that He is Elohim. And by doing that, you realize, wait, I'm not in charge of the situation. He is. We see that in Numbers 14, 39 through 42, that our sin in this regard of murmuring removes God from our life. What was their sin? Numbers 14, 39 through 42. Numbers 14, 39 42.
Then Moshe told these words to all the people, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, "Here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned." And Moshe said, "Now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you."
What is being said here? This is kind of spooky, you think about it. Moshe said, "Why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you." See, they were thinking in their mind, well, this is how we'll repent. We'll go and we'll just, man, we'll smash these people. We'll take them out. And that'll be our proof of our repentance. They just couldn't sit still. They just couldn't sit still. And he said, "He's not with you. He's not with you." And this is where we have to really think about that Hebrew word, shuv. It's in the middle of teshuvah, which means repent, which the English connotation is wrong. The Hebrew view of teshuvah is to turn away from that which separates you from God and turn back to Him. Turn away from that which separates you from God and turn back. Because it shuv means turn. Turn back. Turn back away from that which separates. Well, how do I know what is going on in my life that's separating me from God? You got to look at it. You got to take possession of it. You got to own it. Identify it and then overcome it. And boom, you go right back with God. Once you do this, then you're back in His realm again. See, He can come and go. He doesn't owe us anything. He can come and go, just like we do. Sometimes I come and go with Elohim. And I'm thinking, man, as many times as I've done that, come and go, and expecting that He's there with me the whole time. It's a wonder I don't get chased back to wherever they got chased back to. Because we have to really assess the wholeness of His truth, not what we perceive or what we think or what we've heard on the internet. Look at what the Word says. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. And we have to say, why? We just go back a page and we see. We look at all this, murmuring, slandering, belittling God's potential, uplifting the enemy. This is serious stuff. And people wonder why prayers aren't answered. Where are we separating ourselves? It's all right in here. Not according to the religions of man, but according to the ways of Elohim is where transgression lies. That's where it's at. And the biggest one is lack of faith. Emunah. Emunah in Hebrew means it's a verb. It's a verb. Faith is a verb. It's very powerful. Murmuring removes God. This was their sin. These people were still a slave mentality. Murmuring enslaves one. Murmuring is spawned by lack of faith. Lack of faith comes from not understanding the Word of God. Romans 10:17.
So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Now in the Hebrew's mind, so then emunah, which is a verb, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This word hearing here also is combined as a verb with emunah, which means hearing and applying. Hearing and applying the Word. Faith comes by hearing and applying it. And hearing and applying it comes from the instructions, the Word of God. Hebrews 10:38.
Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him.
He just described these bad report people. He just described them. Now the just shall live by faith. Caleb and Joshua. But if anyone draws back, the rest of the guys, they all drew back. My soul has no pleasure in them. This also goes with the lukewarm, hot or cold thing, you know. A lot of people would really like to latch on to this area that does not exist, which everyone thinks is gray. Well, I'm safe in here because it's questionable on this and that and those things, so I can just hang out here and not do a whole lot because I'm kind of gray. I'm in the gray area. It doesn't really matter. Some of this stuff's so serious. I don't need to do that. No, Adonai is not gray. He's black and white. He lays it out. They're called right rulings that make perfect sense. And this is what he has for us. I encourage people to look at the Hebrew. Torah scholars, Torah observant believers in Yeshua in the land will tell you the exact same thing. Get into the Hebrew and look at the dimensions of it. And it clarifies what was erased in the English. What was taken out. No wonder our ancestors were operating in so many generational curses. Because he said, do not take away and do not add to, or you'll be cursed. Hebrews 11:8. Let's do Hebrews 11:8 through 31.
By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance.
See, a verb. By faith, he obeyed. Go ahead.
And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she had judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Yitzhak. And he who received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called." Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith Yitzhak blessed Yaakov and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moshe, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Mashiach greater riches than the treasures in Mitzrayim, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace.
So we see here this word emunah is followed every time by an action. Is this not true? Every time faith is mentioned, there was obedience. Very important. When I finally realized, when it finally really hit me, the magnitude and And my wife's edification in my direction for 7 years about his holy days and the importance of his high holy days, when it finally sunk in, I thought, wow, I get to quit living like a pagan. I get to go and live like a Hebrew. I get to enjoy his times and seasons. I get to see, I get to be revealed. I get to be shown. I get to watch and see and do what was being done thousands of years ago. This is so cool. I thought, I am now free in Christ. Now I'm free. I am no longer in the bondage of the pumpkin day or the silly rabbit day or some of this other stuff. I'm no longer in that bondage. Wind me up and poke me through Walmart doors. Go buy for someone for winter solstice. Hang balls on trees, winter solstice. I'm free from that. And what a good feeling it is. And by the way, if you find out the true meanings of all those things, you will turn red with embarrassment. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith. He didn't think my works will save me. He didn't think that. He said, Abba speaks with me. We talk together like a friend. And he made me, and I want to do what's pleasing in his sight. That's what he was thinking. I love Elohim. He made me. And if he's not there, then I shouldn't be here either. See, we're proof that there is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you all sitting in here on Shabbat is even more proof, more testimony, more edification of him in the world. As people drive by wondering why that parking lot hasn't gone away. What are they doing in there? We could be using that money in a parking swap. What are those people doing in there? Faith brings the birthright. Obedience brings the blessing. James 1:6.
But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind.
Doesn't that sound like those guys that just went in and spied out the land? They were driven and tossed by what they saw. James 2:17. Why weren't they driven and tossed by what they saw? He did. Ah, stupid is as stupid does. I'm sorry, James 2:17.
Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead.
Faith by itself, without action, is dead. Dead faith. Dead faith. James 2:22.
Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect?
By his works, faith was made perfect. That's good stuff. When you really look at the depth of what it's saying. Beautiful stuff. So I want to encourage everybody in here today. Everybody that's here. And I know some of us sometimes don't get along in some areas. And sometimes we do. But this is the camp. And we didn't put us in here. Just like we didn't bring ourselves to the planet. I didn't put me here. Just like I didn't put me here. And you didn't put you here. He put you here. And this is a very important thing to consider when we walk in those doors. We were brought in by him. The interest that we have for what we're looking for in the Word was put in us by him. Because he says way back thousands of years ago, I'm going to scatter all you disobedient ones out in the nations and out there one by one. I will pick you out. One by one, I will turn on the lights. Your DNA was marked in Mount Sinai. You are a descendant. Somewhere in there is a descendant of Mount Sinai. Where your descendant, where your DNA was marked. And I will bring them home. It's not a miracle of Mother Nature that butterflies go from Canada to Mexico on the same path every year. It's not a miracle of Mother Nature that the deer of May 1st at our house go the same path to the mountains and the ones in New Mexico come to our house. And when they return, they don't veer from the path more than 15 yards in the fall. That's not a miracle of Mother Nature. That is an act of God. And he did that to his people. That's why there's so many pockets sprouting up all over the globe in every nationality that are running to the Torah. Because as little as man wants to make this, it's really big. It makes things manifest. It's huge. And the reason why we have a Torah scroll in here is because the man, I would have liked to have met him that wrote that. Try it sometime. Sit down for a year and write your own Torah by hand. Exactly the way this is. That was done out of love for the Creator. He did not do that so that he would get a trophy and say, look what I did. He did that for the love of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And by the time you get done writing one of those things, you know a whole lot more about it than you did when you started. And that's what the Torah cycle is about. So I'm going to encourage everybody, this is real, what we're in. It's very real, and it's not to be considered lightly. So thank you for all coming and being with Elohim on his set of part time. Abba, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you. We praise you. Micha Mocha Adonai, who is like you, Master of Mighty Deeds? No one. May my thoughts and my speech be favorable before you, Father. And may we get the strength. May you give us the strength to go in and to claim it and overcome it. Possess it and overcome it, Father. Be with all of us here amongst all our trials and help remind us that your trials are here to test us and refine us. Help us to remember this and help us to go with this. In Yahshua's name, amen.